Let's go ahead and pray. Father, we do thank you again for this time and this word. We pray over each life represented here, all families, all the children, all the aunts and uncles, everyone who lives in their houses, everyone who has association with that house. We pray a blessing over them. We ask, Father God, that you said, choose life, that you and your children shall live. And so I thank you that we choose life, and what we choose affects our generations, affects our children, affects their children and their children's children. And we pray a blessing upon that. And we ask you in the name of Jesus that the devil cannot and will not steal their seed, will not steal their lifestyles. We give you praise for every victory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. We're going to talk about giving honor to dad today. Ephesians 6, chapter 1, chapter 6, verse 1. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise. It says in here, if you honor your father and mother, things will go well for you, and you will have a long life on the earth. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 3 says. So, verse 2 says, honor your father, or honor your father and mother. So, we're talking about honoring your father, first of all. And, this is Father's Day, and we're focusing on that end of it today, because it says honor your father and mother. And so, verse 3 says, if you honor your father, some of you only have your father. Some of you maybe never had a father, but he says, if you honor your father, what's going to happen? He says, you will live long. Things will go well for you. If you want things to go well for you, you have to honor your father. If you just honor your mother, things are not going to go well. And if you honor them, you will also live a long life if you honor your dad, your mom. So we're taking one part of the family head, and that's the father today. So the promise is, number one, is success in life. That if you honor your father, you will have success in everything you do. Whether you're in business, whether in your art, whether you're in some kind of a career helping, whether in your government. If you honor your father, you'll be successful there. And number two, you'll live long. And we all want to live long. We don't want to just live long, suffering long with sicknesses. We want to live long, healthy. You know, we just want to make, the finish line just barely breathing, you know. No, we want to be vital. Amen? Strong. So everybody wants that, and everybody wants honor as well. We all want honor. So introduction-wise, this is Father's Day. It's a Father's Day service, but this message is about honor and honoring everybody as well. And so the word covers, all these areas of honor. So today we honor fathers. The Bible tells us to honor our fathers and our mothers and to honor one another. So we take this opportunity to talk about honoring father and honoring significant people that God tells us. So what is our point today is this. If you get anything out of this message, this is what you're going to get. You're going to get lots of things. I know my wife was asking me at the conference about what are you getting out of the message. Are you writing a message? Well, I'm writing a message while I'm listening to those guys. Because God will talk to you about what I'm telling you. You're going to receive this message. Everybody's going to get something out of this in a different fashion. You're at a different level. Different things going on in your life today. And so things you're going to receive will be something, addressed to you specifically. So honoring your dad or honoring our dads today on this Father's Day is paying respect to God. And God has commanded, which God has commanded us. And these, doing this, will bring you blessings. It'll bring the blessing of God in your life. You're inviting God to bless you when you do honor your father. And I see all kinds of stuff. I see some people say, my dad doesn't have to, he doesn't deserve any honor. He wasn't an honorable dad, a character. And so you could find something. Redeem that. Amen. You could redeem that and turn it around. It doesn't have to continue with you by being disrespectful. If your father was not honorable, you can just change that around today. So dads leave a legacy. We're going to talk about dad's legacy for a moment. Dads leave a legacy. Dads leave a path for the children to follow. You may not have a dad to give honor today for whatever reason. It's possible for you to give honor to God for fatherhood. There's always a way to give honor to dad or fathers today. If you choose to do that. There's someone in your life you can give honor to in that respect. Somebody in your life has been a father to you, even if you didn't have a dad. God will bring somebody to you. Amen. That will be a dad to you in the way that you need a father to be. Can you say amen? Amen. So our dads are not perfect. We're not perfect people. And whatever was lacking in your father, someone came along that God sent to give you that part that you're missing. Very quiet in this house. But I'm going to tell you the truth. Amen? So, our dads leave an impact, a lasting impact on our lives. Either good or bad. And so, fathers are honored to leave a lasting impression for their children. Some fathers, unfortunately, didn't have that themselves, so they couldn't give what they didn't have. So, their children who have dads, honorable dads, are blessed to have a father to leave them a legacy to follow. It's God's intention that we have dads who are honorable, that will leave a lasting value to their children, for their children to follow. Because children will follow in the steps of their fathers. You know, we look at Abraham as a spiritual father. He left us an impression, a lasting impression of faith. And the way we walk before our kids as dads, it should be righteous. And what we live like, you know, our kids will live. The way we live before people is the way we should live at home. If we just honor only when people see us, that shouldn't be. It shouldn't be any different at home. You know, I know my wife and I made a pact. We said, when we sit around our table, we'll never dishonor other people. We'll not dishonor our leadership, and talk bad about any leader around our home, our table. And Brother Hagin taught us that to talk about people in this church. In this church, like they were perfect people in that sense, that there's nothing to leave there that's negative. So the way we walk before our families, before people, our kids should be able to get a good impression. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 7, the King James says, a just man walks in his integrity, his children are blessed after him. Proverbs 20, verse 7. The Amplified says, the righteous man walks in his integrity. Blessed, happy, fortunate, enviable are his children after him. Someone was telling my girls one time, he says, you're blessed to have a dad like him. And I said, yeah, they're right. You know, thank God. You know, something happened to me, you know, at the conference, and I was sitting there. And one of the lead guys who actually put on this conference, the pastor, he came over to my table to find me. I don't fellowship with him at all, like personally. I don't talk to him personally. But he came to me and he said to me, I just want to tell you something. He says, you know, I forget what word he used, but he said, you're an awesome guy. He says, your legacy, your impression goes out towards everyone that I know in this country, And people talk about you in this country with respect and honor. And I want to let you know. And your pastor tells us a lot of times how wonderful you are. And so Pastor Steve was there. He observed that himself with his own ears. And I didn't pay him anything. So, but after he left, I said, I'm going to give him $50 after. But he said something to me. Now listen, this is a guy who doesn't know me. He said, wherever I go in this country, because he travels as a leader, he said, wherever I go in this country, I hear about you. And you leave a good impression on people. And so this is what he's talking about. A father here who gives honor, who leaves a legacy for his children to follow. And, people tell my girls that when my girl travels up north, and she goes to do these conferences, and they tell her, they'll tell. And she hears people in those meetings, wherever she goes, oh, that's Roma's daughter. You know, she says that. I heard that. And they go to talk to me. And wherever I go, they say that's Natasha's dad. So it makes it even, eh? So, I mean, our kids follow. You know, they follow us. And so, it's God's intention that we as dads leave godly values and godly impression, godly examples to our children. The way we walk before our kids should be righteous. And here's a good scripture for this idea, as we said. A just man walks in his integrity, his children are blessed after him, like we read earlier, Proverbs 20, verse 7. The righteous man walks in his integrity, blessed, happy, fortunate are his children after him. So the way we live, I read in Deuteronomy 30, verse 19, the Bible says to fathers and all of us here, choose life, that you and your children shall live. In other words, what I do affects my children and their children's children and the generations to come. And so we as fathers today, if you're going to be a father, this is what you're going to do, is be that. Proverbs 20, verse 7, and the good news says, children are fortunate if they have a father who is honest and does right. And that's what, you might not have a father like that, and maybe he died before you knew him, or you never grew up with your father, but you can find somebody. God will put somebody in your life as a father figure to help you with whatever he wants you to have. You might not have had, like for me, I'll tell you about my dad in a moment, but we don't always get everything. It's not a perfect world. Your dad's not perfect. Dads are not perfect, but today we honor dads. Why? Because God said so. And it's good for you. It's good for us. Amen? So, our children should be fortunate to have dads who leave someone who leave an impression, a good example. So it's our purpose as dads and here to leave, an impression for our kids to follow. So we're honors due. We're talking about we're honors due. So it says, Romans 13, 7 says, give to everyone what you owe them. Let's talk about this right now. Pay your taxes and government fees to who collects them. And give respect and honor to those who are in authority. And I want to say to you that your dad is the head of your home. Your dad deserves, or you owe your dad respect. They brought you up. They pay your bills. They buy you your socks, your shoes. And that's what dad's supposed to do. I was telling my children one time, my daughter, trying to teach them. But yeah, but dad, that's what you're supposed to do. I feed you. But it's like telling my wife, I'm the head of my home. But you know, when you say that, your wife is actually the head of the home. I'm the one that grew. Well, wait a minute. You know, women are very sly. They let you think that you're the boss, but really they're the boss. Behind the scene, they're doing things. You know? No. Cindy's honorable, eh, Cindy? Praise God. So, my wife, too. And I know your wives are as well. So, Romans 17, verse 7, in the Common English Bible, it says, so pay everyone what you owe them. Pay your taxes, pay your duties, pay the duties you are charged, give respect to those you should respect, and honor those you should honor. So we should honor our fathers because God tells us to do it. He says, you owe them that honor. Why? Because God says that. And I know I had experience to hear this about dads. Well, he doesn't deserve anything. I'm going to send him this card that, you get good cards and bad cards around this time. About that. You don't deserve any respect. Here's what I think about you. It's not what you think. It's what God says, right? So children, write good things. Fathers are the authority in our home. That's the way God put it. He's the authority in our family, but he doesn't do it with a fist, an iron fist. If a dad's an order, if he's head of the home, he does it in the fashion that God says to do it. Amen. And so God has placed him over us for a purpose, and that is to be head or as a leader or in leadership of the home. So dad has a huge responsibility in the home to lead that family. So fathers need to pray with your family, pray for them, pray with them, give them the honor and respect. You know, give your family that as well. They will give you in return. So how do you honor your father? It's important. And it's important to God. It's important to your family. It's important to your community. The Bible says, Romans 12 and verse 10, love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. And so, again, we're honoring dad today. But it says, take delight. You should be just excited about honoring somebody. We're going to be honoring our leadership workers at the leadership luncheon or dinner. We're having a leadership dinner. So we're going to be honoring the people. So thank God for that. It's a special time. So we must honor everyone. And that includes dads today who are an authority in the home. This is a command by God. This is not something, this is not a suggestion. This is God saying to do this. Things will go well for you. You'll have success if you do it, and then you'll live long. So in my home, we have different things. We have controversy like any other home, and so sometimes we butt heads. As you know, I got the big head on top, you know, like a goat. But anyway, sometimes my wife will say, okay, you have to take leadership. And you know, a lot of times, I don't want to do it. I say, you do it. So I could blame her after. But so we have this in our home, and we have this respect because we honor the Word of God. And so sometimes I want to usurp my authority. I want to just say, you know what? Listen, I'm the head of the home here. But not many times. There's times I was trying to buy a huge deal, like buy a big truck like worth millions of dollars. She said, honey, I don't think you should do that right now. And I leave that car parking lot thinking, man, she doesn't want me to have this. And I realized after 2 days when I was subsided, she was right. I don't have 2,000 easy payments of 4,000 bucks a month. And I'm happy about that. So thank God. So we must honor. Today is Father's Day. Deuteronomy 5:16, Common English says, honor your father and your mother, exactly as the Lord your God requires, so that your life will be long and things will go well for you on fertile land the Lord God has given you. So whatever God has in store for you, those things are going to go well for you because you honor your dad. You honor your father. We honor Father today. The Bible says, over here, Ephesians 6:1, it says, honor, the Bible says, children, obey your parents and your dad, because you belong to the Lord, for this is the right thing to do. Everybody say, it's the right thing to do. It's the right thing to do for us to honor dad today. It's good. It's what God wants you to do. So I talked about to my wife, I was driving, you know, about honoring, how she could honor me. I said, okay, you know, I really don't need that shirt, because you buy it too big all the time, wrong colors. But anyways, I should be grateful. Anyway, honor your father and mother. He says, this is the first commandment of promise. If you honor your father and mother, things will go well for you. You'll live long on earth. That's, again, that's repeated. So God promises blessings to us. If we do this, we'll enjoy life. So, but in some cases, I mentioned to you, it's not always possible for a reason or two. Because there are tragic situations in homes where dads, the leadership was ungodly and not possible for whatever reason. And so we come to a reasonable wisdom when we have those situations. So we find God will lead us if that wasn't possible. He'll show us the right thing to do. So your dad might have been harsh, might have been violent, he might have been abusive, might have been a dictator. Nevertheless, for most part, you know, and in every case, God says to honor your dad. You know, we could find something good. The fact that, just that fact that God said it, you understand that God, he might not have had that opportunity, like you, to know what you know today. So what does honor mean? It means to highly esteem, to place a strong value on someone. It means to respect someone very, very highly. It means to give special designation, respect and honor to that person called dad, because God said to do it. God said to do it. God wants to honor among his church, his people. In Romans 12:10, it says, love each other with genuine affection. You know, I remember Brother Hagin says, if I saw some people and we're not, you know, we haven't, they were not very nice to me, and they were not living, you know, like, you know, being, I don't always say it's nice to see you. He says, you shake their hand, say, God bless you. You know, so sometimes, you know, we need to give the idea of we should affectionately, you know, bless people because God said to do it. That's because how we feel. So take delight in honoring each other, the Bible says in Romans 12:10. So let's do it with a good fashion. Amen. So we don't see honoring too much today, right? We don't see a whole lot of honoring in many circles. You're quiet today. And I'm doing my best. I studied. I came home after 20 hours of driving, and I went to work last night. Okay? So anyways, we don't see much today in many circles concerning honor. We witness so much disrespect and dishonor among people. We see that everywhere, especially on the news, the television. We see it in music, music industry. We see it on our social media. It's a lot of disrespect to one another. You could do that in many ways with your words and what you put on there to dishonor. But I thank God that many of you here are honoring people. You say good things about, you know, I did somebody this morning, I saw their thing in the, last night, and they were honoring somebody. And I just really admire that very much. So God wants honor among us. He wants us to be honored as well, because honoring is in our DNA. It's inside of us. Psychologists would say to you that every person, in every person in life, we want honor. We want respect. We want esteem. We want to be valued. And today we do that for dads. We want to tell them how special they are to us and how fortunate we are to have them in our lives, right? So generally speaking, God wants us to honor each other. He wants us to honor each other. And especially, as we say, put value on dad today. It's important. We ourselves, we should honor ourselves in different ways. And specifically speaking here, it says we should treat our bodies with respect. God wants us, you know, to use our bodies for the glory of God. If you read that in a lot of scriptures, in 1 Thessalonians 4:4, because there was a lot of sexual things going on in that church. They were disregarding each other. People were stealing someone else's wife, sleeping around. And Paul wrote this letter. He says, each of you will control his own body and live holy and honorable. You know, it talked about cheating your brother and going with his wife in that book. So God wants us to do that. You say, you mean you have to tell Christians to do it? Yes. It happens in churches. But we need to be reminded. I'm a pastor. I wouldn't be a good pastor if I didn't remind people about that. It's getting very quiet in here. I know. This is important, right? But we're talking about honor. That as a person, you should honor God by what you do with your body. And so he said, first honor yourself by treating your body as special and holy and sanctified before God. And you should do that for others as well. Treat them with that same respect as you would your own body. So what you do with your body is important to God. 2 Timothy 2:21 says, if you keep yourself pure, you'll be a special utensil for honorable use. And your life will be clean. You'll be ready for the master's use for every good work. So in other words, you know, the more ready we are, the more we keep ourselves sanctified for God, we'll be ready for God. You wonder why, you know, maybe we've kind of been lagging some ways. So it's something for us to review. This is not a rebuke. It's just this is a scripture we're looking at. So put it where you should be. And look at me and smile and act like it wasn't you. I know Pastor Ken is smiling a lot. And I know he's good. When I went away, he cut my lawn, but it grew back again. So he needs to come back today. And I'm just yelling Father's Day. So we give you a break today. Matthew 19:19. Honor your father and mother. Love your neighbor as yourself. So you're not going to abuse your neighbor or your neighbor's wife or girlfriend. You're going to honor them by doing that. God wants you to do that. He wants you to be respectful, right? My goodness. You know, I don't want to, you know, it comes back to everything you preach, eh? Pastor Ken tells me, this is good material when something happens. So, 1 Peter 2:17 says, respect everyone, love the family of believers, fear God, and respect the king. That's a whole lot there. That's a whole lot of respect. So, give respect to everybody. Say, I will. And it says that this includes family. So sometimes we disrespect family a little bit. We don't respect them and pay attention and dignify them as much as we do somebody else. We say, that's my chair. Get out of my chair. I know when I go to Ed's home, he gives me his good chair. But I heard that chair wasn't good anymore. So Ed, pull out that good chair. So you know, I know in my case, you know, my dad, if we're sitting in his chair, he says, okay. We're sitting at the table and he comes down to eat. Everybody takes off. Anyways. So, respect the king, it says. That means government and his leaders. Yeah. We can't slander them and all that, you know. Disrespecting leaders is dishonoring God. That's what he says in his word. So we have to be careful. I know they might deserve it, naturally speaking. They deserve it. Well, you ever made mistakes? Especially in leadership, in high leadership. You got so many things pulling you, and there's so much, you're constantly being pulled here and there, and then you, on pressure, you make a mistake, or you just do something. And, you know, I remember one time that Brother Hagin was saying that he said something that he heard some other minister said about another minister, and he was just repeating the same thing. He wasn't really talking bad about them, but he just mentioned something. So he said it was at home. He said, I was kneeling and praying at my bed, and a light shined as bright as the daylight, and I heard a voice says to me, why did you disrespect my minister? And there was a conversation going on. God told him, why did you say that about that minister? He said, I didn't say it. And God didn't pay attention to his explanation. He said to him, why did you say that about my minister? Is he your servant or my servant? He said that again. I didn't do that. I didn't disrespect him. I didn't say that. I was saying that because somebody else said it. He said, when you said what you heard someone said, you're just as guilty as that person, just by saying something about that person. And so he learned. You know, I used to say things, you know, maybe bad about another minister or in some way, like another church. And I learned my lesson. I learned my lesson, and the Lord said that he had to correct me. So I don't do that. I don't publicly criticize another minister. Unless we had to talk about it publicly, there's something that come up and we had to talk about it. So with my wife, the same thing. The Lord had to correct me about it too, respecting my wife. And said, don't treat my daughter like this. And when God tells you, that's really scary. That was a scary situation. So this is Father's Day. So we pay him honor today. Here's Paul as a spiritual father in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 15. For if you had 10,000 others to teach you about Christ, or someone, you'll have many, there's many people who have teachers, they have their favorite pastor, minister on television or a ministry somewhere, and you have only one spiritual father. You know, I became your father in Christ when I preached the good news to you. So he's saying here that he was the one who got them and he raised them up and ministered to them. So you might have a lot of teachers, you might have a lot of pastors and a lot of people around you, but you're going to have a father, somebody in your life who is a father figure to you, a spiritual father. That's important. My spiritual father called me this morning, last night, and he said to me, I want you to have a good day tomorrow. What a nice dad. You know, and whenever I go somewhere, he tells people, this is my spiritual son. And just honors me wherever I go. So that's wonderful to have that kind of relationship. So as a father of faith, Paul talked about his son Timothy. He says in here, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 1 to 4, he says, as an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope, unto Timothy, my own son in the faith. So we all have fathers of faith, people, spiritual fathers who mentor us, who we look up to. I remember one time Brother Hagin said to Keith Moore, he was introducing Keith Moore. He said, he's my son in the faith. He's my son, and I taught him everything. And I remember he went away and he told us this. Keith Moore, he says, I went around and I was actually angry at Brother Hagin because he never mentored me personally. Because he took it like I'm his mentor. I'm taking them personally. I'm riding with him every day in my car. I'm going to his house. He's coming to my house. We're going shopping together. We're going fishing together. We're going movies together. We're doing all that. But the Lord had to correct him because he said when Brother Hagin brought him in his ministry, he was giving him opportunities. And he was learning from him. He's watching him. And he was getting his books and reading things from him and being taught. And the Lord told him that he's teaching you by his life. He's your spiritual father. And, you know, I have a few spiritual fathers who taught me, and I have that today. It's important. I know, I wonder why pastors, if you don't have a spiritual father, who do you talk to? Who can you call in the middle of the night? I know who I can call in the middle of the night. Ghostbusters. No? No? I can call on the Lord, right? I can call on my father. And in fact, he said, I would get on the plane and come to you tomorrow if I had to. And he did. He's done it a few times. Yeah. He said, as I besought thee, verse 3 says, still at Ephesus, when I went to Macedonia, that thou mightest charge them that they teach no other doctrine. So he's telling Timothy, who was a pastor there at Ephesus, he left him there to train him. He says, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies which ministers questions, rather than godly edifying, which is faith to do. He tells them to teach faith. Timothy, if anything else, teach faith. If anything as a dad is to teach our kids the word of God. And I remind my kids, give them the scripture, and I don't always tell them, okay, I'm teaching you now. I'd find a way to slip that word in there. I don't just say, okay, sit down with me here, and for 5 hours we're going to teach the Bible. No, I just find a way creatively, because the Bible does tell us to creatively teach our children. And so we've done that, and it's up to them to eat the food, right? It's up to you to eat the food, right? So it's important that you find a way to teach faith to people, teach them the word. When we say faith is our, what do we say? Our acronym. When we say F is for this, I is for this, you know. And so when we say our role here is to teach faith. And when we say that, we're not talking about specifically the subject of faith. When we say faith, it means the word of God. That's what we mean. It's to teach the whole counsel of God. When we say we're teaching your faith, we're saying we're teaching the whole counsel of God, wherever the word is needed. Like today we're teaching on fathers a little bit here. So as fathers, we teach scriptures to our children, and we receive spiritual edification. We have sons of faith. We have fathers of faith. We should teach the word of God to each other. We should live that before them. Spiritual fathers are needed too in our lives. God knew we needed spiritual fathers, so he gave you one. Amplified says, give neither nor give importance to occupy themselves with legends. People teach legends. Fables, myths, endless genealogies, which foster and promote useless speculations and questions rather than acceptance and faith of God's administration and divine training, that is faith in leaning on the entire human personality, on God, in absolute trust and confidence. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 4, the Amplified Classical says, New Living says, don't let them waste your time on endless discussions on myths and spiritual pedigrees. These only lead to meaningless speculations which won't help people to live a life of faith in God. So it's important for us to teach faith to people so that they'll have a good life, because the Word of God is nourishment to every area. So the purpose of dads, what's the purpose of dad? It's more than just being your physical dad. He was more there for the procreation of your birth. Dads are more than procreators, seed givers. The Bible answers that we need. First of all, dads are leaders in the home. They are examples. They are people who give us leadership and direction and examples. The Bible says fathers are heads of homes. God gave rulership in the home and structures in the home. And God and fathers, you know, should lead in the home, like godly leadership. And God gave that. We shouldn't be tyrants or dictators in the home. The Bible says in Colossians, also in Ephesians, that we shouldn't be so harsh on our children that they feel bad about themselves. That's in Scripture. Look at it. The fathers, do not exasperate. Do not treat your children so difficult and be hard on your children so that they're emotionally crushed. We should come by as a gentle dad, helping our kids. Now, there's a time when you put your foot down in certain times, but there's a time when you have to be gentle to your children. Because you, as a father, when you come home, you're dad. Who needs a licking? Honey, where's my paddle? I'll use my belt. We should come home. Dad should come home and the kids are happy. They don't just disappear to their rooms. I thought we had a room full of kids. Where are they? Dad's home. You know, there was an old thing there. My wife was showing me dads in the 50s. How to treat your husband when he comes home. Make sure you're clean and have perfume on. Fix your hair with your dad. Make sure everything's all, your home is all, make sure everything is ready. All his favorite things are ready. Don't ask him questions and talk to him. Make sure you give him his favorite cushion and put his feet up. And pat him. And talk to him only when he's ready. This is dads in the 50s. Don't you like that? You want to go to? No, you don't want to. Okay. Anyways, I think your wife will talk to you later on. So fathers are leaders in the home, but it doesn't mean they should be dictators in the home. Fathers are leaders. As I mentioned, it's not an excuse for spiritual abuse for your children or your wife in the home. There should be a balance there. And fathers should make the home accordingly a beautiful, safe place for our children. It's good to have a dad who brings the safety in your home. They're protectors, aren't they? Dads are protectors. And, they'll watch over you. Just ask any successful Christian couple in your home, it's important to have balance. Many fathers who learn godly examples learned them from godly parents themselves or through Scripture. Paul says, that's what he says. He says this, we bring stability and safety in home, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is head of the church, he is the savior of the body. So the dad is the one who protects the home. He should protect the atmosphere in the home. What kind of atmosphere is the home like? The way we treat our wives, we shouldn't treat our wives harshly. So that, they say when you go to someone's home and they've been fighting and you walk in there, you can sense something happening in there. An atmosphere of anger and something's there when you come there. But in some places, oh, wonderful. And we've had people say at our house, and they said, man, I just slept the best in all my entire life. It's wonderful. In fact, I don't feel sick anymore. Don't come to my house now for sleep. We had bulldogs. We noticed people didn't visit us too much when we had the bulldogs there. They just jump on you and ask you anything. That's Pastor Ken there. So stability. Fathers bring stability, safety in the home. That's what it is, right? Aren't you happy when your dad comes home and you feel good? And when I was a kid, I was just so happy my dad came home. I see him walking down. I can see my dad long ways. I could see him walking down the... I had sharp eyes as a kid. I look way down there. I could see there's a big bridge in Long Lac. From Suckle Creek, I could see that far. I see my dad coming, walking. My dad never drove a car. He never had a license, He didn't have that, and he was a bushwhacker. I could see him walking. I recognize his walk. That's my dad. He's coming home. I'm excited about it. And he's got a pack sack full of partridge. We're going to have lunch tonight. So I didn't recognize him. So he brought that stability in our home. So the Bible says that we need to submit under that kind of leadership. So it's easy to submit to someone who loves you, right? And so the Bible talks about submitting to that person who loves you. The Bible teaches that. It's easy for a husband to love their families. It's easy for the wife to come under that submission and care, and the children as well. So dads have that. So, you know, we should understand the role of dads more and more in these last days and honor that. So I'm not going to read you a lot of these other scriptures, but dad is also a trainer. And dads teach us and train us for life's challenges. They model a way of living that reflects God's love and strength in the home. You know, my dad, he worked hard as a traditional man. He lived off the land as much as a farmer would live off the land. And everything he brought home was something that he got off the land. And he fed us with that. He made his earnings with that. With the fish and with the animals and the animal skins and all that. When I was my home, it was filled with fur everywhere. Dry fur. Animals. I saw lots of muskrats. I saw a lot of all kinds of animals. Cats, dogs. I saw all kinds. I saw lots of animals in my home. And that's the way my dad lived. And he earned a living that way. And I respect my dad because he worked really, really hard, my dad. He walked miles, 20 miles to get to where he's supposed to go and brought home. I went hunting with him and I saw him get a moose and cut up a moose, carry a moose. And he showed me these things. And he said, son, don't do this. I was just cutting the moose. You go to school. You don't have to do this. He knew about that. So my dad hunted and trapped and he fished and he fed us and clothed us with his traditional skills. So I honor my dad today. He encouraged me to get an education, not to live the way he did. He told me, don't do this. It's a hard way of living. Find something. Like Mr. So-and-so at the Kimberly Clark office. He's sitting there with a tie on. Do that. He's shuffling papers. I told Pastor Ken, don't ever walk around the office without a paper in your hand. Then I told him about a story about a friend that he was just about going to retire in his job. We worked with him for years and years. And he's always walking the hall. You never fail to see him with a paper in his hand walking down the hall. He was just about going to retire. I saw him get fired. So what happened to that paper he says to me? Well, we don't know the whole full story. On the other side of life, we'll hear about it. Anyways, so my dad encouraged me to get an education. And I never saw my dad worry. My mom used to say, you know your dad? She says, your dad never worries about anything. He had faith in his creator, in God. He didn't worry about food. He didn't worry about working. He said, "Oh well, we'll get it done." He was that kind of person. That was good for me to see that worry doesn't solve. He told my mom a lot of times, "You know, worry doesn't solve anything." He never read the Bible, but he knew all this stuff. He told my dad, my mom, "Worry is not going to help you." And my dad was friendly. My dad was kind. My dad was always respectful to everybody. And whenever he went, wherever he went, he was always shaking hands with people. And whenever he left, I noticed he always said something nice about whenever he met somebody, he always told someone, "Oh, man, that guy is so educated. That guy is such a strong man." He'd always say, my dad would always have something nice to say about someone. After he left him, he didn't never talk bad about people. That's how my dad was. And I wanted to be like my dad in that respect. He was a good man. Aside from him strapping me once in a while. He was very polite, my dad, and mannerly. My mom always said, you know, your dad is such a good, mannerly man. He goes around talking to people. He treats clerks and important people and small people the same way. That's how my dad was. You treat people nice. And that's the way he was. And I noticed my grandpa was the same. And you can ask Ed. Very mild-mannered man. Minded his own business. And that's the way he was. Very respectful. My dad was clean. Even when he went out to the bush, he always shaved, combed his hair, put a nice shirt on. He never went anywhere without cleaning up. Make sure he's all dressed, ready to go downtown. Always went for a haircut. I never seen my dad with long hair. You know, and he was always clean. He's always very hygienic. He loved us like he could. He would hold us and tell us, I love you, in his own way. But I never had certain things with my dad. I never had that other kids had. But I knew my dad loved me. He didn't always say, I love you, son. I'm proud of you. He always told someone, later on in life, he always told someone, I'm proud of my son. But he wouldn't tell me directly. He would say, oh, that's my son. And I knew that my dad had respect for me. And when he came to church, I was his pastor. And it was that. There was something there that God gave me an opportunity to give back to my dad. And he was my dad. I learned from him. And so, in Genesis 18, 17, and 19, the Bible said, the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham the thing I will do? Seeing that Abraham shall surely be a great and mighty nation, and the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I know him, I know Abraham, he will command his children and his household after him. They shall keep the way of the Lord. Do justice, judgment, that the Lord, may God bring upon Abraham, which I have spoken unto him. Deuteronomy 11, 19, Moses wrote this. He says, teach your children. Talk to them when you're at home, when you're on the road, when you're going to bed at night, and when you're getting up in the morning. Talk to your children all the time about the Word of God. It's important. Solomon says to his son, he says, these are the proverbs of Solomon, David's son, king of Israel. The purpose is to teach wisdom and discipline and help understand insights of the wise. It's important for us as dads to take opportunity to teach our children, to train up a child. The Bible says, Proverbs 22, 6, train up a child the way he should go. When he's old, he'll never depart from it. That's a promise we have. If they do depart, they're coming back. You got to be able to keep that word because no one is perfect. We don't know the pressures of everyone that goes through in life. We can see them, you know. They get off sometimes and come back in. The word train means to show and live by example. That's the best thing as a dad you can do is live by example and treat people like my dad would do it. He always treated my mom well, treated her with respect. The way I treat my wife is the kind of man that my girls will have as a husband. They'll see that. And I'd like to learn that. So, we call Brother Hagin dad, us Raymond graduates. He's Dad Hagin. He's our spiritual father. And at Rhema, grads call Dr. Hagin Dad. It's because he's a spiritual father and of course, a father of faith to many people, even though those people who never went to Rhema, they fed on his teachings and grew immensely and were grateful. I had a pleasure to talk to a pastor from Ottawa who actually is a partner to us. A few years ago, this pastor died. He got sick and he died. And Jesus appeared to him and took him to heaven and said to him, I don't want to add any extra insight, but the Lord says to him, I want you to write a book about our experience here. He's got this book. He didn't send it to me last time. I told him, you need to send me that book. He said, I said, what did you learn? What was the gist of that experience you had with Jesus when you saw him? What did he say? What did he do? He said, you know, the thing about it is that when Jesus appeared to me, I just experienced a love that passes all experience. everything in this life became so insignificant in terms of, you know, worrying about stuff. He said, I lost worry about everything in this world. I looked into his eyes, I just felt the love of God, how much he loved me. And he said, Brother Hagin, Kenneth Hagin came to our church when he's coming through Canada to do meetings across Canada. He says, Brother Hagin, that's Kenny Hagin Jr. He said, I got to know Kenneth Hagin, and I recognized him a little bit, and he told me some things that that was important for my life. He said he was just such a sweet man, a down-to-earth man, that we need those kind. He says to me, I know you didn't go to Rhema. You never went to Rhema. But you read Dad's stuff. You fed on his word, and you grew in his stuff. He says, you're just as Rhema as any other Rhema graduate when you read his stuff. That's what he always tells us. Because I know when I wasn't graduate from Rhema, with some pastors, they act like an elitist. You couldn't belong there because Brother Hagin said, you know, I felt I was like a Rhema graduate before I went there myself, fed on the Bible. So I learned two things from Brother Hagin, my father of faith. The first thing is faith. How to live by faith. So I wrote a book on that. I have it out there if you want it. And the second thing I learned that he taught me was walking in love towards everybody, to love people. So to many people, we look at Brother Hagin as a man of faith, but actually, you can ask anybody, he was a man of love. And he told us to walk that way. That's what I learned. And so we all need fathers. And I hope you have gotten something this morning as we shared. I'm going to share a little bit more. You want me to share another 20 minutes?
Sure.
No. Let's go ahead and stand up.